That's, you know, you might get haughty, you know, and not humble. You got to humble yourself and be poor. No.
No
way. No, okay. Boy, I tell you what, those farmers out where we live, they'd be so stupid then to plant the corn and not expect a harvest.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. They're expecting it. Yeah, your husband's expecting so he can make some money for the following year, right, to live.
Amen.
Same thing as a job. Well, it's the same thing when you plant into the kingdom of God. And it's real. This is the kingdom of God. Yeah. We're not pilfering your money in any way, shape, or form. But look back to see if you are not more, have more abundance.
Yeah.
But see, once you sow that seed in spiritual ground, you got to water it.
Yeah, you do.
Right. What if there was no water all summer long?
Right. Yeah.
And we got a lot of irrigators where we live. But still, what if there was no water? You really should water your seed every day. I mean, if we give once in a week, twice a week, whatever, water it. Just water it. Because when you speak the word over it constantly and consistently, and you don't have to do that much. You can just say, Lord, you said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest will not cease. So I'm sowing this in faith.
Yeah.
I'm sowing it in faith. We're sowing it in faith, aren't we, Ken?
We are.
Knowing that the law of seed and harvest works.
Yes.
Just like the corn, just like the soybeans, just like the whatever, wheat, whatever. So, and then in Genesis 1:11, God said, let the earth bring forth after his kind. And it was so. Okay, so if you're sowing financial seeds, you're expecting them to produce after their own kind in financial blessings. I mean, how many people can say you're better off right now than you were last year at this time?
Amen.
Okay, Mark 4, 26 and 7, we're not going to put it up though. It says, so the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Even like, right, pretty soon we're going to preach the word. And that's casting seed into the ground. Okay. So, and the seed should spring up and grow. So we're expecting every single seed that we have sown to grow up. Okay. You know what? You can even claim the seed from your ancestors from the time of Adam that never were reaped by anyone that was given. You can claim it, especially in this time and age. So we expect the seeds that we're planting today to spring up, to grow up, and to produce an abundant harvest in our life. You know what? If you need, and if sow it for healing, if you need healing. Sow it for finances if that's what you need.
Yeah.
You know? Or sometimes if you need healing, go lay hands on somebody else.
Yeah, good job.
And you will be healed. Amen. Okay, you can put the thing up there.
Praise God.
The saying.
Job.
Okay, so.
There it is, honey.
Okay. And we're thanking God. And we thank God that we can give, right?
Amen.
And we received today's offering. We're thanking the Lord for
jobs
and better jobs, raises and bonuses,
and
benefits. Interests and income, rebates and returns, mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, generosity, increased capacity, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments, divine favor. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. We'll receive it. God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now you feel like crying, you feel like getting mad, you feel like getting all this other stuff, but raise a hallelujah instead. Even if it's hallelujah. And then you just get happier and happier as you do it. Okay, we've been going on a series, but I am of like rejection and inferiority. And I want to just revamp some, and I don't know how far I get. I probably won't get to the end of it because it would have been the end of the third one. But anyway, it's overcoming rejection and inferiority. Now, rejection in your life can be gotten rid of because it is a blocker.
Amen.
And it's one of the most toxic emotions that is possible. It's a toxic emotion. Now, I'm just going over highlights. I am not going over this. But you know what? Well, this is something we have to remember. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 is the armor of God. But it says in there that we are not fighting flesh and blood people.
That's right.
It doesn't say like I said it. It said we're not fighting flesh. We're fighting principalities and powers. Sometimes when I say scriptures, I say them so that they really mean something to me. You know, it's not just saying some, okay, that's it. No, I like to say it so it gets inside. So it's real. Yeah. We are fighting principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness. Okay, rejection. What does it mean? It means to be excluded. It means to be left out. You know, like maybe you were at a grade school team at recess. You were chosen last. You know, because you were a poor batter or a poor runner or something. And it hurts. It's like, oh boy. You know. Okay, you could have been from abuse physically, sexually, mentally, verbally, verbal put downs, words that say you are worthless, anger, where people, you know, a lot of anger around you. You know, just like even when you're pregnant, if there's a lot of fighting and abuse, that baby in the womb will pick that up. He's already going to have to get over something. Or, you know, you may be betrayed, deserted, cut off, divorced, left behind, fired from your job, have failing grades, or even, you know, people that are adopted kind of get. But, there's so much more to this. We're hitting highlights here. So it hits you. Okay, the most important part of you is your hidden man in the heart.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Put the deal up there again, the heart.
Me too.
Yeah, the heart and soul. Your hidden man in the heart is the core of your being.
Yeah.
You have no idea. That's where stuff gets in.
Yes, it is.
And it consists of the spirit and the soul.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so rejection can be, it can become a driving force in someone's life.
True.
Even when they're little.
Uh-huh.
Can be a very toxic emotion.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so you can put it like you got born again, because we're all born again here. Anyway, again, you see your body is the round part, but that heart, the hidden man of the heart, is the core being of the center of you. And it consists of the spirit and the soul. The soul, the spirit's a part where Jesus comes to live. The soul has to be renewed by the word of God.
Amen.
Okay. Now, rejection, sorrow, grief is under the curse of the law.
Yes,
but you know what? It's under the curse of the law.
Yeah.
Galatians 3:13. because Jesus became a curse for us, for cursed was he who hung on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on us. Okay, but then something, oh, it's a curse of the law, but I feel rotten, you know? I feel just like I did before I was born again when something happened. Don't you still sometimes?
Yeah.
Okay, but see, that's it. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah. But you've got to know the word. You've got to get the word so impacted inside of there.
Yeah.
That's when you come to know God, when your heart is full of God.
Yeah.
You cannot just skip that part of being a Christian.
Exactly.
You got to get yourself full. You know, and sometimes a lot of circumstances will happen. Maybe you had to work extra on the job, something like that. And you don't get yourself full. You just notice yourself. You start going back. I don't care how far. I don't care if you're Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin. Oh, you can go. And me, especially those kind of people that are so full that you... Right away, it starts to impact you. Now, okay, we are redeemed from that.
Yeah.
And but Isaiah 53, let's go there, out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 3, Isaiah
53:3. Come on. Bring it out.
Now, you know what? This is why, though, Jesus did all this. At one point or another, and I don't think we'll get there today, we're going to read the whole chapter of Luke 23. And maybe if you remember that, read that whole chapter, because it and even that doesn't have an impact of what Jesus went through. But it's probably the best one out of the Gospels. Isaiah 53, verse 3, Amplified. He was despised. How would you like to be despised? Have you ever been despised? He did it. He was too. And he was forsaken by men. His apostles ran from him. How would you like that? All your family members, everybody that you thought loved you, your spouse, everybody, they just abandoned you. He was a man of sorrow. He felt the sorrow that you feel. He was a man of pain. His body had pain. And he was acquainted with grief. There's a spirit of grief. And there is a grieving spirit. Like when we, like somebody dies in the family. And you do have grief. But you know what? That spirit wants to stay there. It wants to stay there for years and afflict you. And even a spirit of grief can come when you go back like to your childhood or all the stuff that happened to you. You rehearse it. And you know what? That, come on, I've been there. And so I know and I go, wait a minute. One time God said, stop it. I heard him in here. Stop it. Because but see, you can rehearse what they did to me. Oh, they bullied me. Oh, they did this. Oh, they did. That's where that grief wants to come back. And then you start crying. Then you get thoughts that are not of God. And that's what we have got to fight. But if you get in the word, you will be able to fight it. You got the best thing you can do is to know who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. I'll tell you what, when you get too busy and all this stuff happens, you're going to have to just get priorities and do it. Because the devil would like to stop every one of us. He would. He would. Okay. All right. Well, keep reading, Jack. Okay. Okay. It says, he was like one from whom men hide their faces. You ever have anybody run from you? Everybody's laughing at that one, though. He was despised. Despised. Just think, despised. I despise that. You know, you could say, I despise Hitler. You know what I mean?
Right.
the cruelty and the meanness. And but just think, Jesus was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Even the people of that day did not. Surely, it means it's guaranteed. He bore our grief. He bore our sicknesses. When we're feeling miserable, when you've been diagnosed with something, when you're having surgery, when you just have a cold, or you're just throwing up and whatever. He bore our griefs. And griefs is interpreted from Hebrew into sickness, into weakness, and distress. You ever got everything bombards you at once and you get distressed? You get stressed out. That's dangerous. He carried our sorrow. See, we can just read this, but he carried our sorrow. Think of the times when you sorrowed. I mean, when you were sorrowed, you just, in fact, you might have cried so hard you heaved.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You know, and just while we're at it right here, quit bringing up the past. Your thoughts will go, oh yeah, remember that. Remember that. Or, you know, it could be somebody who died. It's okay, I mean, to remember that. But if it starts to get to a point where you're going, oh, here. No, it's a spirit. It's a spirit trying to stop you. But you can, I mean, remember that. Remember it. But if you rehearse that too much, it's darkness. It is not light. It is, especially if they went to heaven.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Take me along. Well, no, not yet. I want to finish my race. But anyway. Okay. He carried our sorrow. He carried our pain of punishment. Pain. You ever had pain? I suppose everybody in here has had pain. Yeah, we've all had some pain. Okay. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, afflicted by God as if with leprosy.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that guy. You know, he was walking on the earth, and they said, yeah, he did all this stuff. But you know what? Look at that. He got crucified. Only the criminals get crucified. And so he must have really been blaspheming God, or those Pharisees wouldn't have killed him. You know, you might have been the one that never could walk in your life, and you could walk. And you're saying that about him. You know, okay, next verse. But he was wounded. The nails were put in him. All the way through. Nails like on the railroad. Spikes. Yeah. He was wounded for our transgressions, which mean offenses, crimes, sin, wrongdoing, misdemeanors or felonies, misdeeds, law breaking, stuff like that. Wickedness. Okay, he was a lot of stuff was done to him for those sins. And he was bruised. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. 39 times, you know. Can you imagine? And to the point where it ripped all the way down to all three layers of skin to his organs. Sometimes they beat them so hard their intestines would fall out. And stuff would be exposed. And they were naked when that happened. They were naked. Oh, God. Ugh. Okay. So, and those were, you know why he did that? That part was for his iniquities.
True.
There's a difference between transgressions and iniquities. Transgressions are the sins, like everyday sins. There ain't no such thing for us, right? Okay. But iniquities are stuff that tries to come down the line.
Yeah.
You know, alcoholism, drug addiction, all kind of, yeah. Well, I don't know about that one. Yeah, I suppose it would. Or mental, stuff. But see, but all that mental stuff is because of thoughts.
Right.
See, so we can conquer it.
Amen.
And sometimes that is even witchcraft.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm telling you. Okay. So anyway, the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was upon him. In other words, and he was shamed to, oh my gosh, shamed, shamed, shamed. I mean, even Kenneth Copeland says, you know, he was taken, and then overnight they let the soldiers abuse him. He was taken in a, like a dungeon downstairs, and he said, you bet they sexually tried to abuse him too. His hands were tied. He was spit on, not by one person, 300 to 600 soldiers putting goobers on him. You know what I mean? Then after they did that, you can imagine running down your face, and then they hit him on the head with a reed after the crown of thorns was on him. 300 to 600 soldiers. They're not sure, but it would be as high as 600. So there was he, and for all that he did for us, if we can really think about that, you know, this would help this whole rejection thing. He was rejected in the first place. His man Adam rejected him and goofed up in the garden. This is way off my subject. As God is developing it, I can tell. But his man did, before that, there were one third of the angels left him. In the book of, in John 6, I love that chapter, but in John 6, he had 70 disciples besides the 12. The 12 were the main ones. And he gave a sermon.
Come on.
And that sermon says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, is he a cannibal? You know, a pastor might give a sermon.
Yeah.
And then people leave, never come back.
Yeah. Sure, true.
Yeah, we see it all the time.
Can't stand the light.
And anyway, you that eat my flesh, drink my blood. And he went, you know, all 70 of those disciples left him.
Come on. Yeah.
And then he saw the 12 and he said, you gonna leave me too?
Come on.
He said, go ahead, leave me.
Yeah.
Go ahead, leave me. He actually urged him almost like Elijah did to Elisha.
Yeah.
And they said, Peter finally spoke up, and he says, where would I go?
Yeah.
Where else would I go, God?
Amen.
You've got the words of life.
Amen.
Go ahead. Okay, so in all this, though, he felt rejection, even in that.
Yeah.
You know, and then all the stuff when he came to earth, you know what? The worst rejection of it all was when his father turned his back on him.
Yeah.
You know why he did that? That would be horrible. Keith Moore said one time that he says, oh, Lord, that would just be terrible. And he said, I just don't know if I could, how that would feel. And he said the next day, you know, he was able to play the piano by ear.
Yeah.
He was able to sing, make up songs, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the next day, all of it left him. And he said he felt distance between the Father and him. And he said he couldn't stand it. And it happened for 3 days. For 3 days. And he said, God, he couldn't do anything. Couldn't play the piano. He couldn't even comb his hair. He was like almost just sick. He said, I wanted you to feel what it felt like.
Yeah.
But that would have been the worst. And you know why the father turned his back on him and abandoned him? Because of our sins. He saw our sins on him.
Uh-huh.
He saw them. He saw the filth. He saw the filth of sexually kidnapping kids and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it, you know, that. I mean, there's all of it. But all of it.
All of it.
Yeah, all of it. So, you know what? We're actually, he did all that for us.
Everything.
And so we don't have to carry it.
Yeah.
We don't have to have those feelings misplaced, displaced, dismissed, or we don't have to be counted as worthless or lonely. You know what? And I could say all that stuff, and yet when something happens, the feelings might come.
It's there.
Okay, but that's when, why I'm telling you all this, is you have to use all these things that we're talking about to get rid of that. All the grief, all the sorrow, all the depression. If you go layer on layer, the bottom layer is rejection.
Yes, it is.
The root of all grief, all sorrow, all depression, oppression is rejection. Somewhere along the line. Now, say a whole bunch more. Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. Or at least Ephesians 6:1-6 says that we are accepted in the beloved.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
The same thing. You might go to a Christian psychologist, and they could say, "But you're accepted in the beloved." Well, I'm still feel bad. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Those scriptures have to get inside of you to a point where you repeat them and repeat them, and you have to pull yourself up. We got the Word of God. Come on. Come on, you guys. Is this so boring that we could... Come on. Yeah, no, I know. Just trying to get you going.
Yeah, well, you did.
The Greek... Okay, there's another scripture that it says, and we said it, you know, the last 2 weeks. It says, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up and adopt me as his child.
Yeah.
And that's in Psalm 27:10. So accepted. In the Greek, it means a grace that is endued with special honor and you're highly favored. We are accepted. In other words, Ephesians 1, we are given a grace that is endued with such special honor that we are highly favored by God, and we are his beloved. All the time. It never ends. So see, the answer to rejection is accepted and favored. And when you feel rejected, you feel like you're on the bottom of the pile, right? But the Bible says, even in Psalm 5:12, that we can find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight of God and in the sight of men. Okay, now this is rejection. Now I got this part from Annette Kapp. It manifests in two ways. One way is people who feel rejection or even rejection from you, they won't make eye contact.
That's
it's like a shyness though. You know, sometimes we think kids are cute if they're shy,
right.
But that's a spirit of fear.
That it is.
That's actually shyness in a child is a spirit of fear in a little child. So, I mean, you have to kind of move that out of them. And so, you know, that's what that is. But then the other way it manifests is by arrogance or biting remarks, know-it-all type, and they put people down type of person. And that person actually has an even deeper rejection as well, and all of that's a cover-up.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, it's just things we have to get that word at us.
Yeah.
So the deeper the rejection is from people's earlier lives, of course, the more that the devil is able to push them
to get in there.
You know what I mean?
You betcha.
But the point about this is, what they've discovered is that the earlier it comes on, those people, that rejection is in there, and when they get around people, they say the wrong things. And then they get further rejection. And, you know, they really don't want to, but they don't realize what they're doing because so much of that came into them. But see, you overcome rejection and inferiority the same way you overcome anything else in life. By the word of God, by faith. What? All that. I know who I am. You know what? But you got to say, I'm the righteousness of God. Jesus came. For me, who do no sin, but you got to do it almost every day.
Yeah, you do.
If you want to eat every day, eat that. Eat, even if it's just a few of them. But it's who we are in Christ, not who we are in the natural.
Yeah.
You know what? In the natural, we all have shortcomings in the flesh. But in the realm of the spirit, in that heart, and especially in the spirit, you are exactly what God created you to be.
Amen.
Exactly. And you know, that one of my favorite scriptures and is Colossians 1:21, and it says that God, Jesus presents us to God the Father as holy and faultless and blameless but in the throne.
Yeah.
I go, well, first time I read that, I went, oh my gosh, here he presents Jackie Hartman, holy, faultless, blameless. Oh my gosh. I mean, just meditate on that sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, thank you, Lord. Accept, you're accepted in the beloved. You're highly favored according to the word. You're a powerful spirit being like your daddy, the Heavenly Father. You have the DNA of your Father God. And all that other stuff are lies, 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 lies to try to stop you in the earth. It is. It's immediate. You know, I think sometimes the enemy can tell. Those who are gonna really, God wants to do something with them in the earth, and immediately he tries to get that in there. Well, we're fighters, right? We know now what that is. Now, this is a little key here, though, too. And you know what? I've noticed it in my own life when I look back on this. When you have a wounded, broken spirit, it actually produces physical sickness.
It actually does.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as that thing is pulled up by what the Word says about us, you know what happens? Your immune system fights all that stuff. You're different. And it really works. So this is one thing, though. You got to protect your heart and set boundaries to be the powerful being that God created you to be. You might have to set boundaries if you get around a person that just constantly, you know what I mean? You got to set those boundaries. Okay, so now, just like our natural heart thrives on the right diet, so does our spiritual heart.
Amen.
Now, we are going to get these on up there. Proverbs 4:23.
Come on. Hallelujah.
But then we're going to go back to 20. Proverbs 4, come on. So, keep your heart, keep and guard your heart. The word keep actually means guard.
Yeah.
With all vigilance. Vigilance is like you're on the alert. You're guarding. Like if you got hired to watch over something, you know, on a shift, and it's very serious watching over. or it would be like they had the hugest diamond in the world, And they were brought it to you, the museum. Yeah, they wouldn't bring it to Fremont, but somewhere, you know. But and they would put armed guards around it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's how much you're supposed to guard your hearts.
Amen.
And do it with all vigilance. And above all that you guard. Above everything that you guard.
Yes, yes,
Amen.
Yes.
Everything.
Everything.
Oh, I got to guard my money.
No.
No, guard your heart. And your money will stay intact. For out of your heart flow the decisions of life, the issues of life, that what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, what you're going to say, where you're going to go. It flows out of there. Guard it from pornography. Guard it from stupid movies.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. From you know, all these horror things, yeah. That gets in you. That gets in you. It's a trap. You know what? All the junk, people, you know, sexual. Guard your heart from what's out there in the world. Because every, you know what? You need a plan to protect the most important part of you. You actually need a plan. You got to think, okay, if this occurs, you know, if this person's like real abusive or something and has been in the past, you're going, yeah, you got to have a plan. Okay, I'm going to protect myself this time. I'm not going to take that. Okay, because why do you have to guard it? Because everything's going to flow out of it. It can stop you from being a good student in school, stop you from being a good worker, all kinds of things. Everything flows out of the hidden man of the heart. And even if you're not born again, it's still, for that's your being, your spirit being right there. So see, when you free yourself from things like inferiority, like depression, like rejection, like discouragement, you become a mighty army in the earth that God wants you to be. He wants us to help other people, not just to have this.
Amen.
All right?
Come on.
Amen. Oh, poor me, huh? Okay, verse 20.
Come on. Hallelujah.
My son or daughter, attend to my words. Don't attend to those words that you heard out there.
True.
Don't attend to the politics, the junk that's on TV or all the advice that's on there. Consent and submit to my sayings. Well, where are you going to get his sayings from? From the word. Right. Don't let them depart from your sight. In other words, look at the Bible every single day.
Amen.
Keep them in the center of your heart.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference of just blah, 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 reading the Bible and getting that stuff in your heart.
Yeah.
Well, it's the truth.
It is the truth.
Okay, who is it? There was a lady told me, and she wanted her husband to read at least one chapter a day, so he would just go through it as fast as he could. Didn't even know. She was always complaining to me. If I told you who it was, you would know. Some of you. Anyway, it says, don't let them depart from your sight. So in other words, open your Bible. Keep them in the center of your heart. But that's when you get revelation knowledge, not just head knowledge.
Amen.
Okay. Why? Verse 22. For they are life.
Come on.
They aren't darkness. They aren't death. They aren't sickness, disease, hurt, depression, oppression, crying, diddity, da 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 da. Hey, we've all been there. But we fight it. Fight it. You got to do something. And don't just succumb to that. That's what we're saying. Because where am I? And that the whole thing, life to those who find. Wait, the word find there in the Hebrew, and I just heard this on Kenneth Copeland about maybe 3 months ago. It says the word find actually means enunciate. What are you doing when you're enunciating something? You're speaking it. Yes, you're speaking it clearly and out loud. And it says they are life to those who enunciate them. That's what it means. And also it is healing and health to all their flesh. And then literally that means another word for all those Greek words are that Greek word, health, a cure, medicine, medication, a remedy. Hey, it's medicine. Okay, so the most important part of you is your innermost being. It's vital. See, we think something else is vital. Oh, I better go to the doctor quick because it's vital that I have my whatever. My flu shot. No. No. Yeah, mine too. No, it's not vital. God's more vital. But see, it would be vital to you if you needed dialysis.
Come on.
That's right.
But what's more vital?
The word.
The reason I remember that is I don't know who said this, but it got in here. It says, well, you know, you think, well, it's... Okay, so your long-lost relatives come and you're so thrilled. And, you know, you think, well, I'm not going to go to church this morning because I need to visit with them. Nope. But what if you needed kidney dialysis and you had to go to the dialysis center? To you, that would be so vital that you would go.
Amen.
Right? That God wasn't vital enough to you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, those are things sometimes we got to look. Where are really and truly, where are our priorities?
Amen.
So, see, if your spiritual heart is healthy, your physical heart will be healthy too. Now, I'm skipping around yellowed and pinked. Pink stuff. So, verse 23 means guard that heart, protect that heart. Set a watch over it. Put a hedge of thorns.
Come on.
And last week we were talking about that lady who saw those new type of roses, and they were just gorgeous. They were real.
Thorns.
But I mean, the top of them was swirly, like they'd been curled. They were curly.
Okay.
But then she took them home. The lady gave it to her free. She was buying roses for herself to make herself feel good. I thought, oh, okay, we're all gonna do that. Okay, so. But she said, oh my gosh, they had the hugest thorns on the bottom
to protect
them.
Ah, yep. That's it.
Yep. So put that hedge of thorns around yours. And it actually means that in the Greek. It would be Hebrew. Okay. So see, guard with all diligence what comes in to your eyes, to your ears. Because, and we are in control of what comes out of our mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth gets into your heart and it lodges in there. Okay, now we're not going to turn to Mark 4, but in Mark 4 it says the sower sows the word. And it says that your heart is the soil. And this is called, and this is important, your spiritual production center. That's why you gotta guard it. It's your spiritual production center. And if it is, be very careful what goes into the ground and takes root and springs up. Now, you know what? Now, I know it's unfortunate, and I bet you've done that because I know I have too. You take in and accept the thoughts and the words of even yourself or other people about who you are. And they're words of the enemy. And you know what? But if you're in that, that cycle can continue and continue and continue. Now, the scriptures that we gave last week, I wrote them out, so I'm just going to say them. Proverbs, here's one of them. Proverbs 18:14. And there's like a Young's literal translation, and it says, the spirit of a man sustains his sickness. Your spirit will, if your spirit is all hurt inside sickness, it'll keep that sickness. Your spirit, your inner being, has a lot to do with what happens to your arteries, to your veins, to your cholesterol, to your blood pressure, to all kinds of things. The Passion Translation said, the will to live sustains you when you are sick, but depression crushes courage and leaves you unable to cope. And therefore you get sick in other ways. Now you can be healed in your body from that inner heart, from that spirit. And your healthy spirit can literally drive sickness off your body if you have the word in your spirit. Yep. And I should, when I was first a nurse and the first time I ever and graduated and stuff and got my license, and I worked at this hospital in North Dakota because I had gotten married, and then I worked in the hospital, and this guy was on the medical floor. Yeah, not the med-surge floor. Anyway, this guy, they told us all in the report, he keeps yelling, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Don't pay attention to him. Just don't pay attention to him. Give him this drug that's prescribed by the doctor and he'll settle down. Well, you know, I mean, of course, they, you know, it's a tranquilizer, whatever. Okay, so he was doing it and I was up there. I was the only nurse. The rest were aides. And so I thought, okay, I guess I have to give him the thing. And guess what?
He died.
He died. It was the first patient I ever had die on me. And I was like, oh, what did I kill him? I felt really, really bad. And I think he'd been doing it for years. Honestly, I cried. But I killed him. I look back now. No, but his words killed him. Because he kept saying it over and over and over. Now, okay, now when your soulish area, what's the soul? The mind, will, and emotions. When it's cast down, when it's defeated, it goes into depression and sickness. Easily comes on. In fact, it opens the door so that everything can come in. Bitterness, resentment, hurt, anger, unforgiveness, insecurity. And you know what? All these things are present when a person's heart is broken. Literally broken. Spirit. The inner being is your heart. What does it have? It has the soul and the spirit. Where God lives, but it also has that soul. And that's where it comes in. So see, we need to learn how to build up that hedge of thorns as a boundary. And it's who we are in Christ. Yeah. You know, as some people think, well, I just let people run over you. I mean, there are people like that, and then there are people that are not like that.
Yeah.
So don't say, well, I never do that. But there are people like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? But they don't say anything and they don't stand up for themselves. But this is not what the Word of God teaches.
Amen.
A lot of people in the church flip-flopped the authority of the believer and the love walk. And when you need to be using the authority of the believer and needed to be saying, don't do this to me, I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to receive that rejection or that hurt to tear me down or ruin my day or my life or my ability to do what God has ordained me to do. Then they thought, well, I have to put up with this because it's love. But the point behind this is I was taught that in the denomination I came from. You know, Jesus suffered. So when you get a cut, when you get a pain in your leg, offer it up to Jesus because he suffered. But I would literally do that. I took everything like, oh, I just, you know, I wanted God when I was little. So I listened to what they said.
Sure.
See, but the devil will convince you that you really are worthless.
Yeah.
That you are bad, that you're evil, and you're doing the wrong things. You know what? And we all do the wrong things. We all say the wrong things.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Amen.
And sometimes just the way you're taught, it was like you could never forgive yourself because you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody makes a mistake except Jesus.
Amen.
You know what? It's deception, though, because you need to protect your heart.
Exactly.
Some, well, got a lot more notes than that. But so, you know what? The ear gates, the eye gates. Those are literal gates.
Yeah.
Stuff can go through there.
Uh-huh.
Stuff can grow. Stuff can grow through there.
Sure.
Just think, because you got gates.
Yes, you
do. You got to protect your gates.
Yes.
The mouth gate, through your own words or what you see, what you hear.
Yeah.
You know what? It can harm you. And then you don't know how to move out of it. See, if you're not careful and you are around a lot of negative talk, even like on the commercials, and I mean, I heard it one day and it said, are you depressed? We have a drug for that.
Yes.
And you know what? If you're not careful, you all, those things get in your spiritual production center, in your spirit. And you say, wow, I got all those symptoms they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You know what? Even sometimes it's symptoms about, do you have knee problems?
Come on.
Well, this is what the knee problems are. You think, oh my gosh, that's every symptom I have. Shut up. Maybe I should get this drug. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Say, or... See, and then you say, and I've done this. I might have said it to you. Then you say, you know, I probably should have that checked out because I had all those symptoms. You know? See, and you know what? Satan hears you. He's got familiar spirits. And then he said, we got him. We're starting to get him. We're starting to get him. Put some more on him. Put some more. Put, you know. See, he has a legal ground when it comes. Wait, but listen. He has a legal ground when it comes out of your mouth. Then he has legal ground. And he puts more thoughts leading to more depression, more stuff. It is. And you got to recognize that and overcome it. You know what? You have control. You have power over your own mind and your own thoughts. But people perish from lack of knowledge. Okay, some more scriptures from Proverbs. Proverbs 14:30. I'll just read it. If you can get it up there, it's fine. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart is the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness to the bones.
Wow.
You know, my knees were hurting, my joints were hurting. When I went, oh, I must be full of envy and jealousy. I mean, I did because, oh, my bones. And I thought, you know, I get self-accusatory. Always am. But, you know, I'm just telling you, if you're like that, get rid of it. See, if your spiritual production center is full of the word, though, you won't take that. But see, if a whole bunch of stuff happens and a distractions, I got to go here, there, everywhere. Somebody called this, that, I have to do this, that. You know what I'm talking about? You begin to take, you can't keep yourself full. It's the most important thing in your life.
Amen.
Keep yourself full of the word. But see, in my case, There's constant stuff asking me, doing this, that. Even the end of the year here, all kinds of stuff because of this building.
Sure.
And because we own it, and because of just signing papers, doing this, doing that, make sure the furnace gets inspected or the utilities get mad at you. Just all kinds of stuff, filling out all these forms for reordination, for tax exempt, for 501c3s, and all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, the one sack of papers, there are 25 of them. You press the button at the computer and 25 pieces of paper come out to keep your 501c3 every year. And I got to fill them all out. And they're due by a certain time. See, you know, and then it's all other stuff, you know. Okay, but see, that's why I got to keep full. And you got to keep your heart, okay, you got to keep your heart weeded.
Weeded.
Weeded. How do you get a weed out of your heart?
Wash it out.
The first thing is that you need to do is figure out how it got there.
That's good.
Folks, that's important.
Oh, yes, it is.
Figure out how that weed got there. And if you put it there by speaking it yourself or running yourself down or, how did I be so stupid to do this? You know, you could sit and say stuff like that. Maybe you don't, but I have, and I've caught myself. I go, sorry, Lord. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, Lord. Then repent. Wipe it out. Undo it. Call it dissolved. Cease to exist. But then replace the negative with the positive. But figure out how it got there first. See, get that seed out of your field, your spiritual production center. Is you get one seed weed, like in a cornfield or a soybean field in your garden. It grows up and it starts to get other seeds, right? That's exactly what it does in your spiritual production center. And before it grows into a weed and spreads, you better spray it with the word.
Amen.
But this is also cover it with the blood.
Amen.
Yes, that's the big one right there.
See, the blood of Jesus washes it away.
Yeah.
Reject it, cast it down.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't even recognize it, then you're not going to be doing that stuff. It'll sneak up on you.
Betcha.
You don't even know what you're thinking about.
I'm
going, oh my gosh, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, there goes those thoughts. See, say something to replace it.
There it is right there.
If it's an established weed, you might have to say extra.
Uh-huh.
Double.
You betcha.
Now, you may feel like it, may not feel like it, I mean. Whoever feels like it. Especially if depression is starting to come in and you feel, you know what? Make yourself do it.
Amen.
That's part of being more than a conqueror, more than an old. God has already done everything.
Yeah.
He cannot do anything. He goes, please, please, just say something. Please. Oh, come on. Holy Spirit, get him going. Oh, you know what? I've felt rotten, have been crying, depressed. I get into the word. I don't feel like it. And at first it's like, you know, and then all of a sudden I go, whew. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It starts to lift you up. And I go, oh my gosh, thank God I did that. But cover it, repent for it, cover it with the blood, say something to replace it. Okay, but you can actually get to a point where you get hooked on saying who you are in Christ. And when you're doing that, you're filling, you're flooding your spiritual production center with the light of God's word. You're filling it. Who you are in Him. What He really thinks of you. It's going to wash away all those bad self feelings and kill the weeds the enemy put there. You say, well, you know, oh yeah, I know all that, and I do. Okay, what if somebody comes in your house and there's big fat fights? That's when the rubber, that's what I am talking about. It's easy to say, oh, I can do that, until something happens. When somebody slaps you in the face, literally, and slaps you with words.
Come on.
Are you strong enough? Are you filled up with the word enough to walk away?
Come on. That's what I do.
I am not kidding you. You don't go back to where you were.
Right?
See, you have to commit the whole situation to your Father. And let Him righteously judge. And repent. Okay, so that the 1 Peter 2:24.
Oh, come on. Yep.
Well, let me tell you, just by doing all this, I had to repent too. 1 Peter 2:23, not 24. And it says, that one you could, yeah, she got it up there. Wow, yeah, and right, that's the one I wanted. Okay, when he was reviled, did I write that down? Wait a minute. Reviled, I looked it up. Did I write it down? Well, mostly it means insulted,
sure.
Spit on, knocked on the head, shamed in every way. Okay, when he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm after. But he trusted himself and everything to him who judged fairly. We're not going to be judging fairly. You got to give it to him. You're not the one who takes the vengeance. In other words, and you know, it's huge to forgive. He's the one who judges fairly. Now, what does that have to do with emotions and wellness and keeping your spiritual production center clear and well? Sometimes we take the offense of someone that told us what someone else said about them. And I did say this last week. Yeah, yeah, it does. I've been guilty, though, myself. Your heart, okay, you take, okay, I'll tell you, I say, oh, guess what that person did to me? And do-do-do-do. And then that person, especially like your husband or wife or kid or whatever, you take on that offense for your loved one.
Yeah.
Now then you're offended. And because I told you, now I got double sin. Do you get what I'm... It's true. I guess if you have to talk about it, you know, and sometimes it helps if you just tell somebody who doesn't know them at all. That might be something. The dog, the cat. I told my cat, he went, row, row, row. Anyway. Well, I had to get you happy somehow.
I leave that up to Denise.
Oh.
She's going now.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway. from the dog. You know what? I can bark so good that dogs actually answer.
I can gobble like a turkey.
I've howled, and I've had dogs to the neighborhood howl back. And I mooed to the cows once, and they mooed back at me. I'm not kidding you. They were right in the next field. Yeah. You singing the dog's howl. Yeah. But see, then, but somebody tells you that, you know, like say Stephanie tells me somebody did to her, you know, then your heart gets filled with anger.
Yes.
For her, for your children, for your spouse, for your friends, because of what someone said to them or you. But see, Jesus is our pattern. It isn't that you have to take that in, but you have to learn. When he was reviled, Jesus reviled not again. And he committed it to him who judges righteously. Who's that? That's the Father God. And he's the one that judges righteously. You know what? But then we need to repent because we took on the offense. And you may even want to get even for your loved one. And you, but you've got to commit the whole situation to the Father. And let him righteously judge. You know, because that verse, I remember you told me once, Tony, because your ex-wives, you were talking about vengeance. She said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And he was, you know, a baby Christian. And he thought, God's going to get even with her. If she's doing the wrong thing, he's going to take
it.
You even took life insurance out? Because she thought he'd get some money because he was going to die in a car. Because he thought God would take vengeance on her, you know, his ex-wife. He told me that. I mean, we've all been there. But you know what? I heard Bill Winston say, the vengeance is mine, I will repay. They don't repay the, he isn't repaying the person who did wrong. He's going to repay you for the loss that you had. See, we take it, oh, God's going to do it. He's going to, yeah. Now, you know what? See, if that other person said or did the wrong thing, the righteous judge, he's the one, if he has to straighten them out, that he can straighten out. You straighten out too, or there may be reaping consequences to you.
Yeah.
See, you don't know exactly why someone says what they've said to you, to your friend, to your children, your spouse. Now, it might be right or wrong, but don't take the offense of it and become the judge. You know what? There's so many motives. There's so many things going on with everybody. I mean, you might feel rotten at the time. You can't. You're not as nice when you don't feel good, right? I'm not. You know what? Just it's best to repent. Put it in God's hands. Yeah. Let the righteous judge who judges righteously take care of it. I'm going to be done pretty quick here. Okay, so I didn't get into the other part yet. But repent, cast the care of it onto the Lord. There was one more scripture. Proverbs 15:13 says, a glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Your spirit, it is. That was Proverbs 15:13. Okay, Proverbs 17:22 says, a happy heart is good medication, and a cheerful mind works healing.
Yes, it does.
A cheerful mind.
Yes, it does.
But a broken spirit dries the bones. A broken spirit dries your bones. Isn't that something? Okay. But you know what? When you cast the care of it onto your Lord and you've really done it, and it's how I cast the care of this onto the Lord. I don't care if you lift it up there and say, take it, you know, and that helps. Maybe you think about it right, but did you really do it?
Come on.
Because you might turn around and just have it all back. But the bad feelings, when you've really done it, they'd be released.
Yeah.
And you know what? You tie God's hands when you try to handle what only He can handle.
Right.
And you know what? That's being a doer of the word.
Yeah.
Not just a hearer.
Right.
You know what? Deuteronomy 30:19. The rubber meets the road.
Yep. Yep.
Bad stuff.
Yep.
Arguments, fights, whatever. Okay? I call heaven and earth to record before you this day. Choose blessing or cursing right now when it's happening. Choose life or death. Why? So, wait, you and your seed may live. See, and it'll keep your spiritual production center healthy and strong. So, guard your heart. Your spiritual production center. It's a spiritual production center. What God has for you is coming out of there. And there's too much junk in there. You're not going to fulfill the boil and the plan of God that He had for you. What are you guarded from? Abusive speaking, negative talk, controlling, manipulating, hot-tempered people. Guard yourself from judgment, even from your own judgment. When you think you have to take vengeance, anger seeds will breed into weeds in that spiritual production center. And you start, actually it makes you sick.
Yes, it does.
Angry. Yeah, and you're unable at that time to help others, and we're here to help.
That's the big one right
help
there.
Other people.
That's the big one.
You know what? You actually play God.
Yes, you do.
You know, anyway,
no, it needs to be,
sometimes, you know, there's people that say, I've got to witness to my, you know, to my kid or whatever it is. And you know what? The kid just gets mad at him, won't listen to him. Let it send laborers and shut thy mouth. Send laborers that they will listen to. Because God will do it. And just start praying for him. Don't play God. God has told me that so many times.
Right.
Are you playing God?
Come on.
Yeah. So, you know what? We're to be successful, powerful. Hey, would you get ready, Waymaker by Butt? And we're just going to, and again, it just, He is the Waymaker. You and we're going to walk out happy. We are to be successful. We're to be powerful.
Yes.
We're to be confident.
Confidence.
Right?
Yes.
You know what another word for confidence is? Faith. Faith is the substance, the confidence. Faith is confidence.
Yes,
okay?
Amen.
Of who we are in God.
Uh-huh.
You know what? But there... and. Two areas that will defeat or empower your life.
Bring it on.
It's what you say, number one, and even what you tell yourself.
Sure.
If it's negative or, oh, look how fat you are, look how, look at you can't do this. And that. Shut up. I mean, you know what? We come from that. Hey, I know you because that's how I always bad. I can tell by listening to you. Yeah. But then you got to see, replace it with the word who you are in Christ. Well, I'm a little further along. I mean, I've been for 40 years a Christian. You only been for what? How long has it been? Five?
2014.
14. Wow. That's when Fabiola was here. Yeah. Okay. The other way, the one way, though, what I said is what you say, even to yourself, and what you tell others.
That's it right there.
Okay, I'm done.